Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's. This is August 2nd of 2019 to this week's edition of our podcast, video, vidcast, whatever you want to call it there. And with us this week are Greg Nohlmeyer, Daniel Stringer, Jim. Jim, I don't know your last name. Jim Kelly, Matt Holker. And Harry Legg. And Forrest was on here. Is Forrest still here?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Yep. And Forrest Obnomia. Did I say it right?
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay. Is there anybody else that I missed on there? Because the way it's showing me this on the screen. Okay. Well, welcome. Welcome. And we're going to jump right in on a couple things. This coming week, starting on Friday, but actually the workshop on Saturday, workshops on Saturday, and then workshops on Sunday. We will be in Cleveland at Chris Burnett's. Matt, is there any kind of a link or anything that you can give people in case they're wanting to come to that so that they can find out where and when and all and location and all that?
I am reasonably sure that there is.
Do you have it?
Nope, not off the top of my head, and I'm not at my computer, so I can't grab it right at the moment.
Okay. Well, how do we send people to that so that they can find something out?
I know for now, if you go on Facebook to New Jersey Tai Chi and go to events, I have a link to it.
Excellent. There it is. And then, Matt, do we have it on our events page, on our Facebook page? If not, we will put it on there as soon as this call is done, and so you'll be able to access it there as well. On New Jersey Tai Chi, on Clear Tai Chi, go to events. That'll be a listing there that'll take you to it, and that way you'll be able to find it that way. Thanks, gentlemen. Okay. We'll have some fun there. We're probably going to be doing some private lesson stuff on the Friday. If you're coming out to do any of that, you'll need to contact Matt directly. Matt, where do you want them to contact you at for that? Matt, or you can contact Chris possibly, but Matt, where do they contact you at for that?
Yeah, the best way is to send me an email, the letter M, Holker, H-O-L-K-E-R, at clearstaichi.com.
Or clearstaichi.com.
Clearstaichi.com. Actually, either one will get to me. Yep, and yeah, that would be the easiest way. Otherwise, you could... connect with me kind of reasonably any way that you can, but if you don't know how otherwise, just send me an email.
So we're going to get into some fun stuff there. We'll get into some push hands and feeling different energies and how those energies are used both for martial purposes, for healing purposes, for general Tai Chi purposes, and how it kind of all ties in, and some specific push hands and some energetics, that way, I'm not sure what all we have on the list, but we've got some great stuff on the list and you should check that out. And then, Harry's going to teach primarily what?
I'll be teaching the power of breath and how to use that for both healing and martial.
And then Greg, you're going to be teaching
wave and how to accept wave and return wave.
Oh yeah. Which is nice. And to some degree, advanced material he's talking about there. So you please make sure to avail yourself of that if Cleveland is somewhere you can get to reasonably easily. It'll benefit you. So, okay. We continue to put together more stuff for the martial Tai Chi, the fighting Tai Chi workshop in January. It will end up being a 4.5 day. We will be filming it, and we'll be filming that so that it will be something that we'll have available, although there's enough two-person work that at the workshop you get the benefit of, A, the live instruction, B, the hands-on for doing it, and for a lot of it, you're going to need, there's a couple things there you can do a good bit by yourself, but there, most of it involves the other having another partner or person in order to interact. Otherwise it's really, really hard to do the kind of thing that Tai Chi is doing because it's creating so many things based on a body and the position and the tension and the movement of another person that it's really hard to do that kind of work well without a body. And so at the workshop, of course, you'll have that body plus the live instruction plus the help. And then we've got a landing page that we're putting together about that, where you'll be able to see some things about the fighting method in terms of kind of how it, what it is and what kinds of things it gets into. And just to reiterate, we're not getting into every little bitty application of a bunch of techniques. That's not the fighting method. Those are applications of moves. That is different. The other thing is that it's not so much, for lack of a better way to say this, jump in there, get him, hit him here, hit him there, do this, do that. That's, again, application, a specific application in something Tai Chi does, and there will be some help towards that end of the spectrum. But really, it's how Tai Chi moves, how Tai Chi responds to incoming forces, hits, strikes, grabs, and what you do with Tai Chi in terms of not to a specific hit or grab, but to the overall picture of how Tai Chi does what it does in a sparring situation with a partner, carefully, safely, in order to get a lot better at that. And it'll really help transform your overall Tai Chi into what it actually is in terms of movement and in terms of different kinds of body qualities. And it'll help with the health things like relaxation and being sort of that. Tai Chi, in a lot of ways, as a fighting method, has the approach of being very, very, very calm in the eye of a storm. Now, when I say that, it is very active. It's much more active than what I've seen from folks online for the fighting. That, but it is not kickboxing and punch, kick, punch, kick. That isn't how Tai Chi is operating. And so, I'm just kind of giving you a little bit of update on where we're at with that, and that you'll be able to see some stuff online about it shortly. In the meantime, we do have the Tai Chi eye, throat, and groin strikes video. And if you just watch that video all the way through, it will change the way that you look at Tai Chi forever from now on, because it's such an obvious right up front thing. It's not that you're doing something odd with the moves to get them to do eye, throat, and groin strikes. Most of the moves, if you see it, if somebody showed it to you, it's like glaringly apparent that all the moves do this. And so we've done that so that it's really obvious in whatever form you're doing, you'll not be able to look at it again and not see eye strike, throat strike, groin strike just repeatedly as you go through. And I'm talking about with your own form, not with ours. So, and if you've got ours, then of course with ours too. All right. Having said this, it brings up a question that came up this week on one of the threads out in Facebook land. And it had to do with a question that Harry got asked, where it was Marsh for Tai Chi. Can you get the higher level energies and really the bigger scope of Tai Chi, the art, the whole art, in depth with skill at a high level without doing the martial part of the art? And the idea that there are some teachers out there who have said that if you don't do the martial part, you don't really have the art at all. That's one camp. And then there's another camp and a group of masters who have said, that's the low level Tai Chi. If you really are going to get the high level Tai Chi, it's not about fighting. And my take on that is going to be a little bit different than either one of those, but it encompasses some of both of those. And that's this: if you want to get a Jing skill, or a mind skill, even an E skill, you can think you're doing something, but unless you have it acting on something or someone, you don't know if it's just in your head or if you actually are using E being the second or third level. You know, there's Li in our roadmap, which is the Matt, what's a good address for the roadmap?
That is taichiroadmap.com.
Okay, taichiroadmap.com. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, go see that. Watch it through, and then you can come back to this. And and in there, I put the levels, starting with Li, very physical, and your physical form and positioning and all of that. And that would include normally applications and some of that kind of thing. which really gives you a helpful understanding of the moves. You're not doing anything to anybody at that point. You're doing something like, if it's brush knee, it's this moves their hand aside that they're punching at you with. This one either strikes them or shoves them out. And then you get a better understanding of where that's at in position in your body if you're learning an application like that. Wild horse, very simply, is a throw or an arm break, these kinds of things. There's many other applications. But when you're looking at that, if that's not working, you end up making adjustments. And then you, with your partner, who you're being very careful and safe with, it's like, oh, now that's working. And then you will have made adjustments that when you go back in your form and put that in your form, now your lead level is better in a noticeable way because you looked at applications. And if you don't look at applications, you could really have a lot of the way that you're moving internally, at least in terms of placement, minor placement, the way you're doing your legs in terms of position, that are going to be off, that there's no feedback that it's off except for actually having hands on with somebody. And then that's not really fighting with it. You're looking at an application for how you would use that move in a fighting situation. And you're doing it, walking it off with a partner who is standing there, no more energy, effort, or angst than what I'm sitting here talking to you with right now. Real simple, real easily. My daughter, every time we go through, she gets to do these applications and she can toss you pretty good, like move you or throw you to the floor. But I've also seen it do it with people. She did it with Harry last week and she only threw him to the floor once. The rest of the time, she was being really nice and gentle and it was really obvious she had it, but no big deal. And you could do that all the time as long as you were making sure to be correct and have it. You take that up a level to the E level, it's I'm touching them and I'm trying to get something to happen specifically with my E. Is that thing happening or not? If it's not happening, you might think you've got E, but you don't. Or if they're able to defend it with their mind, then you can feel that, both people, and you both get a sense for we're doing this E level work. But if it's like, I'm doing something, I'm thinking something, nothing's happening, I don't feel anything back on the other side either, and they're kind of getting the same thing, then you're not doing it. And there's a lot of people out there that are doing Tai Chi that they think they're doing something and they're not. And we, any of our guys, senior guys like who you're seeing on this call today, touch hands with them and we're going, you know, and we're just kind of moving them aside real softly, real gently, not a lot of effort. And they're going, how are you doing that? Well, I'm using my E and I'm just projecting for you to go over here. And of course, I actually have skill with that. And they're going, but I thought I had E. And I know, I'm sorry, but you know, there's a difference between thinking you're doing something and doing something. And then when it comes to Jing, same thing. So many people we've met that, hey, I've got this spiraling energy and we feel it. It's like, well, a little bit. Or they think they've got root. And again, it's a little bit, and it just doesn't have high level. It doesn't have depth, width, volume, speed, or any of that. And without having that extra development, it doesn't, obviously you can't use it martially. And I'm going to tell you, you can't really use it for health either. And so do you need the martial for that? Not exactly. What you need is hands-on doing things, and that does not have to hurt the person you're working with. So it doesn't need to be martial like that, but it does have to be the thing where even on a touch they're being, oh man, I'm feeling that and I'm getting moved by that and I'm being affected by that. And it's like, okay, now you defend with your kind of energy. Okay, I'm doing that, and you can feel that coming back, and we're having fun if you're doing it properly. Safe fun, careful fun, not ridiculous, right? And yet you're doing things to build your skill level. And the hands-on is absolutely key to that. And for the healing as well, I can think I'm healing somebody all day long, but only when I actually am putting hands on with somebody and getting those adjustments and getting those changes in their body can I say that I'm honestly healing them like that. And of course, there's the spiritual side of, well, and this in the spiritual aspect, of course, our goal is to become a person that non-violence and non-harm, of course. And so Tai Chi is trying to get you there. But all the people I've met who are really, really had that going on, and the ones that I know of from the martial arts who really have that going on. And Tai Chi is a martial art, even if you're not using it as a Tai Chi itself, Tai Chi Chuan, the art, it's a martial art. You might not be using it as one, but it itself is one. Now it's that, and it's a health art, and it's a healing art, and it's a spiritual art in a certain kind of way. And it's a mind art and all these other things, but also a martial art. And so I kind of got off track there, but you get the idea. It is these other things. And so if you're going, I'm not using that part, you really can't claim to be doing the whole art once that's happened. You're doing part of the art. Anyway, so everybody that I've met that has high-level ability, they can do all the parts. It's not like they're, okay, I just do the health side, and then they have truly high-level skill with Tai Chi Chuan, Tai Chi, right? And it's not like they're just doing the martial part and no health part, and they've got high-level Tai Chi Chuan. The people I've met, every last person I met that's truly high-level, they have both going on really well. And they have that understanding and that work with that stuff in order to be able to do it. And guys, I'm going to let you weigh in here now. I've kind of rattled your ear off here for a minute about this.
One of the things I like to say about this is there's about 5 centuries of recorded history of Tai Chi. Think about 5 centuries of how does this force travel in the body? How does this energy travel in the body? And let me test that with a partner. And then think about risking your life with that. So if you're truly defending yourself, you're going to want to find the best ways of doing that. So for me, I think of the biofeedback testing, not necessarily hard sparring, but at least some 2-person biofeedback testing plugs you into that kind of like 5 centuries of case study of Tai Chi.
Cool. Yeah.
I think one of the more profound realizations I had was pushing with you and
with who?
You know, with the clears, Tai Chi.
With who? With Greg or me or who?
No, with you.
With me. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. And you know, the difference between, you know, when you're doing push hands, it looks so often, it looks like it's absolutely nothing. And then the difference between pushing through somebody or, you know, pushing with them, and the difference with using it martially and pushing into somebody's body and, you know, disrupting. And, you know, there's quite a difference in it's the same energy, but it's a slightly different application, one being martial, one being training. I mean, you land a good, solid strike on somebody and the energy is released into the body. It's, quite a difference than, you know, pushing them off balance. So
yeah, I like to use the example that if I think of Tai Chi and the energies or Jing, whether that be a spiraling Jing or whether that be rooting Jing or Peng Jing, the expansion kind of a thing, or any of that, those are tools. Like a hammer is a tool, like a scalpel is a tool. And a scalpel in the hands of a really good surgeon, it's a tool to move things, to open things in the body so that they can get to things for the healing. The same scalpel in the hands of somebody who is meaning to cause great damage, well, it's a serious weapon, right? If it's a truly sharp scalpel like that. And the scalpel is the device that it is. It's the application that makes it that. And if you're going to be able to do Tai Chi, if you wanted to be skilled with the scalpel, ideally, you could do things that result in healing results. You could also do things that result in harming results, and you don't have to harm a person to find that out. And you can, a lot of the people, knife people, they'll hang up a big slab of meat and do things to the slab of meat that's already dead, cow or whatever. And you can tell whether you're getting good cuts or not getting good cuts and all kinds of stuff off of that. Same thing with a hammer. You can hammer nails with it. You can hammer somebody in the head with it. The hammer is a hammer. It's what are you doing with it? And some people can't hammer nails so good. Boom, boom, ah, you know, this thing. If they tried to use it as a self-defense tool, they would be maybe worse off. And then just because somebody can hammer a nail real good doesn't mean that they could use it in a real serious couple people coming at them hard and fast self-defense situation successfully. you'd have to actually train your the rest of your movement and placement and how you're using that hammer to get that other thing going on. And so it's really using the tool to its fullest expression, doing different things with it. Again, all able to be trained safely. Now, a lot of people don't know how, and that's what we're trying to put across as education, is this is how you train that. This is how you train that safely. This is how you train that so that at the end of the day, you and your partner are all good, and yet you have skills and abilities. So even when you're talking about putting force across, there's a difference between you put somebody enough force across that they go, woo, good one, and somebody who we now have to pick up off the floor and carry out. You know, there's and so you can tell. And then ways to do that so that you can put enough force across in terms of a push that it really moves somebody, even though you touched them, versus you put a lot of energy and effort into it, and they go, okay, you shoved me a little bit, and it didn't do much. And so that's a martial application, and then ways to see that it really has the right kind of touch, the right kind of placement, the right kind of interaction, the right kind of transfer of energy, all that stuff. And you can see that very safely and well, where you're not stressing that this is a martial thing, and yet you have martial ability because of what you're doing with it. So, yeah.
Well, for me, sorry, Jim, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
Yeah, well, I started as a martial artist. And the first program I really did with Sifu was the Fagong, the healing. Because when it's no touch healing, I figured, hey, if I can figure out how to use energy to heal people, then I can figure out this whole chi thing. And even after that workshop, the energetic connections that we made to make you a better healer and that you can use the energy to heal, my martial ability went like at least 10 points up because, you know, some of the body states that we use for that, like the three powers, and it made my movements even more solid and more floaty at the same time. And so even just doing that level of health, and that was me at a beginner, it helped my martial arts too. So to me, it's the same thing.
But you had martial arts already, so you knew you knew where you were taking that in order to be able to do that.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
The internal power that comes at the higher levels of Tai Chi can seem mysterious, but that is mostly because Tai Chi students don't see the big picture yet. They don't even understand what the higher levels of the art are, much less have a plan to get there. Even though the senior masters mostly agree on what the steps are, they mostly don't talk about it. On the TaiChiRoadmap.com, I outline all of the steps of Tai Chi development. Everything is explained so you know what to do, when to do it, and why. This is the complete roadmap to Tai Chi mastery with an explanation of all the steps from rank beginner to senior master. Again, that is a free course that you can access online. Go to TaiChiRoadmap.com to sign up. That's TaiChiRoadmap.com.
I think if people are seeing this video podcast, then they have most likely seen some of the discussions that we've referenced that float around on some of the Facebook forums. So it's a very uncomfortable, possibly devastating thing to find out that the Tai Chi that you have been taught, that maybe you're certified in to teach, or that you've just been a student in for a good while, it's not easy to hear that, whoa, you're not getting the full package. What you've learned may be very empty. It personally happened to me. I spent 10 years at a school, and I love the people there, but they didn't have Tai Chi at the level that, you know, you, Sifu Clear, are great for teaching us and everyone. So rather than double down and try to justify why your simplified version is okay, have an open mind and understand that showing the martial application, which, as you said, doesn't mean beating each other up, is very, very valuable. There's all these nice pithy sayings, you know, the student will find the teacher when they're ready, and all of those sorts of things. The public in general, if you're brand new to Tai Chi, and we're all trying to get new Tai Chi students, if we're teachers generally, they don't know better. They don't understand this art. So it's very easy to mislead them. And you may be a teacher that is not purposely misleading. you may have not had this level of training. So people are, I just see in the forums, people are constantly trying to justify that, well, and there are systems, and I won't name them and be rude, but there are systems that specifically advertise that this is simplified so that everyone can take part in Tai Chi. Well, wait a minute, that's not necessary. I teach a wide range of age groups, and I am teaching literally 70 and 80 year old people the martial applications in a very safe, friendly, fun manner. And thus, the skill level, the benefits they get are everything that we've already talked about in this discussion. So I really don't think those arguments hold weight. Sorry, that's my opinion.
When they're trying to argue like that, and they go, I'm doing the higher level Tai Chi, I'm like, look, man, don't get high and do Tai Chi. Tai Chi. Okay. Yeah, there's that.
I will say one thing is that that Tai Chi teachers who are teaching real Tai Chi, it is incumbent upon us to better explain what the benefit of that is. There's a lot of people who are put off by how deep and how rich the art of Tai Chi is, or could be put off by that if it's not explained right and they're not taken through the right steps at the beginning. The simplified Tai Chi stuff that you see and the watered down Tai Chi and all the other kinds of, you know, all the stuff that basically isn't really Tai Chi but is posing as Tai Chi, that has a place in the market because they can explain it to people, and we really need to do a better job of explaining why people want more than that.
I totally agree. I know you do in Tennessee there at Clear headquarters. And I know Greg and I have intro to Tai Chi classes. I'm not sure about Daniel or Jim or Forrest or Ty, who aren't with us today. Or Ty's not with us. Everyone else is. We have intro to Tai Chi classes where we get to explain to brand new potential students the path and why we do what we do, where it leads, how you will train. And in day one, we let them put hands on us and they can feel the body quality. And it usually results in the student going, whoa. And then we go, yeah, it's a whole bunch more than just choreography and moving. And they get it. It's more often than not that we retain and capture those students rather than them going down to the street to the Tai Chi dance, as some people like to call it.
And the difference for me there is that anybody who comes in and tries out a Tai Chi class and does it for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, learning the first form, this is if you have a short enough form that they can learn it in that time frame, which we do. But a lot of people have one where it's going to take 6 months or whatever. But the difference between getting a student who comes to that empty Tai Chi, I'll just say it like that, versus what we're doing is that whether they stay or not, if they come to ours and they leave, they talk about, oh, inside their body, they're doing this or that. The one I like to use is I'll let people feel me moving my spine and also let them see it and talk about how I brought my spine back from the break and the fact that I had conditioning ahead of time from doing Tai Chi that really made it so that the breaks weren't a lot more devastating to me. From where I broke the back in four places, and then get across the idea that the hands-on is part of how you are getting to make sure that movement inside internally is really happening, just like what you're talking about and what's involved in that. And then if they go to one that's just follow along, they're going, what about the inside? And they can tell that that's empty. They can figure that out very quickly for themselves then. And so with ours, the long term, if somebody else asks them, what are the benefits of Tai Chi? They're like, oh man, you know, they actually got the benefit in our program. If it lowers the blood pressure, it calms your mind. If you had gotten an accident, A, you should be built up from it where it's going to be less of a problem than it would be, and that you're going to be able to rehabilitate it better and quicker and with much more of a full recovery and all that kind of thing. If they go to the empty Tai Chi, follow the form, most people who quit that, when anybody else asks them about Tai Chi, they're like, it's a bunch of moves.
Yeah.
Well, what about those other benefits? I didn't see any of that. All I did was a bunch of moves. I had to memorize a lot, you know, because everybody wants to go do that. And unfortunately, most of the population doesn't.
And that's how it harms the art.
And it harms the art. That's right.
Right. My what I say to
that's
people,
that's for the people who leave. For the people who stay doing that, somebody interacts with them. I've been doing Tai Chi for 10 years, and they feel them interact with them, and they realize it's choreography, and they go, so you learn a bunch of moves, and they keep doing the moves. And the person who's selling it's not putting it across like that, but the person who already was going, I don't know, that's what they get out of that. And then they're turned off without ever having done it. And then if somebody that really has the art is talking to them, anybody else doing Tai Chi that's serious about Tai Chi, they really have quite a difficult job getting through to that person, because now they've already made up their mind about the art based on really low and poor information in terms of what the art actually is. And it just, it does. It hurts the art as a whole. People then come away with all kinds of misunderstandings about what the art does and does not do and how it does it. And they just don't see the benefit of it. And yet they keep seeing studies saying it, and they're going, I don't get it. I saw it. It doesn't look like that. And what happens is they didn't see it. They saw a really poor, bad version of it. And if you see a really bad, poor version of a dish that's a really great dish, the bad, poor version tastes kind of awful, or you barely can tolerate it. Somebody says, oh man, let's go to this place and get this. They've got this dish, and you hear the same name. Oh, I don't want any of that. I tried it. I didn't like that. And they never find out, no, that dish is great. You just didn't get a taste of what it really tastes like when somebody knows what they're doing that's making it. You got the McDonald's, not saying that all McDonald's food tastes terrible to everybody, but if we're talking about a gourmet good hamburger versus a McDonald's sat there for half an hour in the thing, and you know, and the bottom line $1 hamburger, that's just not the same food. And I don't know if using the hamburger is the good comparison, but you know what I'm saying? A really quality dish, same food, just the dollar version versus the real gourmet or mom made it at home good version. There's a big difference in those two things. And that's what happens with this, is that people, they get that poor version and they kind of don't see it. And then they don't want it. They don't want it anymore because that's all they've experienced. And so our job here, part of what we're doing, is trying to help people see the real benefits and the real stuff. And now they might go, it's not for me. But if somebody else had the right need, they're going to be like, yeah, that's got some stuff for you. And they're really doing this and that and the other thing, as opposed to, I don't know, you're doing a bunch of dancing, you know, moving your hands through the air, and it's just whatever. You couldn't pay me to go back there, you know, that. And so it's a big difference in terms of how the public views that overall, and then what happens with the art as a result of that.
I will say from my own experience, I mean, you all know me by now and know that I moved 1,000 miles away from home for this kind of training. And part of the reason I did that is because my very first exposure to Tai Chi, really, you know, I was aware of like the swimming through the air in the park thing and the YMCA thing. Even as a kid, I kind of knew about that. But my first real exposure to Tai Chi was about root and about mind skills and about sensitivity to subtle energies and internal power. You know, that's what has intrigued me about it 20 years and had me searching the country and had me move 1,000 miles away from everyone I knew. You know, that is invaluable for that to be something that people are exposed to up front. You know, that can go a long way. If I had a different first experience with Tai Chi, I don't know that any of the internal power stuff ever would have really landed on me, or I ever would have even like given it the space to find a way in. Whether we like it or not, you know, all human beings are sort of programmable, and your first impression is very important. And you know, we all have to keep that in mind as teachers. And remember what our, you know, like I remember my first impression of Tai Chi that had a big impact on who I am today and why I do what I do. I'm sure for most of you, that's probably true too, even though we had different, you know, experiences. Your first impression of Tai Chi probably made you a lot of, you know, what you are and who you are today, if you really think about it. And, you know, we just have to do a really good job of making that first impression the right thing, and not letting the people get the wrong idea with these, you know, with these bogus Tai Chi wannabe things.
Cool.
Yeah, I think I'll just chip in real quick. I think one thing that I've got from your curriculum that I never saw anywhere else was when you're doing these moves, getting a variety of applications per move. And I think that was invaluable. And so if there's anyone listening to this, I think like one easy question would be, okay, how many moves do you know? And then how many moves do you know where you can show three different applications for it? And if you don't have any of those, well, you're missing a really big part of the art. And I know it's helped me significantly getting that variety. So I know that this curriculum has 13 moves in the level one curriculum. You get at least three applications each through the training, and then you're rocking and rolling. So yeah, it takes a little bit to get out of your comfort zone to get started on the martial side of it, but it doesn't take that much to get a solid foundation. And I know this curriculum has it built in. So that's just my two cents on maybe how to quantify how much do you actually know about the martial side.
And you didn't have to hurt anybody or be hurt by somebody in order to learn those three applications.
Correct.
Too. So just to really put that across that don't, you know, some people, their idea of martial is put on the gloves, let's pound each other's head in. And anybody with a sense, if they're over the age of 35, goes, I don't do that. And you don't have to do that doesn't mean eventually, if you're doing it long term, seriously, you wouldn't do that at some point. But it does mean that you can, that it's not a necessary thing for like 10 plus years in Tai Chi. You don't even have to think about that. There's all kinds of ways to build the skills where it's a lot less, certainly not rock'em sock'em and not, hey, I came to this cause I've got injuries. I don't need to add more. I'm trying to get healthier, not get beat up more. And you don't have to get anything like that in order to really get the martial aspect to it. All you have to do is have a partner that you're both working on the same thing and you're kind of walking it off and seeing it. Now, is it a martial art for you in a fully functional way? Not yet, but it builds, Tai Chi makes you healthy. Then it builds your body and makes you stronger. And then from there, you are able to get into these other things and do it again, where it's safe and you're able to build the skill. And know that skill is good enough that you can actually, that it would help you in a bad situation if you needed it. I'll talk about my eye, throat, and groin strikes. You can't watch the video for that and not go, oh, that would really be bad on somebody. But I didn't hurt anybody at all to make that video. And anybody else seeing it will be able to see it and go, that'll do what it's supposed to do. You don't have to actually hurt anybody in order to see that. It'll be very obvious. It's overtly obvious. And in knowing that, we'll change the way you're looking at your moves in little subtle ways that makes it that much more correct. It's not a when you see application, every once in a while I've seen Tai Chi where somebody's showing applications. And when you see the application of the move, you're going, I don't know how you got that out of that move because the move looks like this. And you're like, well, okay. And so when you're, and it's like, that move doesn't look like that. That move looks like this. And so when you see me do applications, what you'll see is that if I take that other person out of there, if I've got a partner I'm working with, and then I go, see, this is how I got in there. It's the move I was doing in the air that I just did with them. It is not, well, but I had to change some stuff. That's not it. The only example that might be an exception to that there are a lot of kicks in Tai Chi that the kick isn't actually thrown. It's your position in a way that when you show that that's a kick, it's like, well, yeah, why else would I ever put my leg like that? And so there's a couple of things that are a little hidden like that. But those are more exceptions than they are the rule. Anybody else want to weigh in there, or is it that all of us? Okay. So that's kind of what I had for today for you. And I hope you enjoyed this and got some benefit out of it. Please put comments down below when and where you see this posted. And if there's any questions or things you'd like to see us talk about, we'll happily do it for you and discuss it and get into some depth with it. And I hope you're enjoying these and thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Internal push hands practice is absolutely essential to real development in Tai Chi. There is no better or faster way to get hands-on feedback of your progress. But not all push hands games and even internal push hands games are created equal. There is one internal push hands game that builds true internal skill faster and better than anything else I've ever seen. I teach the nitty-gritty of that game in an online course that is available at internalpushhands.com. In over 40 years of constant study and research, this internal push hands method has stood the test of time. The CLEARS internal push hands method is truly the secret of my success and the secret of the success of all of my top students. To learn more about the internal push hands and how to add it to your own training, go to internalpushhands.com. That's internalpushhands.com.